As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave DeFore and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information, wow, that the public doesn't.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish for your Weekend Update. Coming up, somebody call a doctor because we've got a little bit of Knicks fever. The Sixers put the brakes on the Bucks, and Kevin Durant might be good at basketball. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. Keith, the Bucks have been beating everyone until Saturday night when they ran into the Sixers and Joel Embiid, and the Sixers put the winning streak to rest, 133-130. And this was a masterclass from the Sixers. They were down big and fought back and scored 48 points in the fourth quarter against the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that's supposed to be built on defense. Keith, did this turn our world upside down?
I don't know if it turned our world upside down, Dave, but it was an impressive performance.
Trying to build some drama here, Keith.
You built the drama, and maybe I didn't live up to the drama you built. I was incredibly impressed by the Sixers with this win. I mean, Joel Embiid, like you said, was great. James Harden was unbelievable. And again, a 48-point quarter at any time is amazing. To do it in a fourth quarter against a team on a 16-game winning streak when, you know, national TV, the big ABC Saturday night game, it was huge to see from the Sixers team. This Sixers team that, you know, I think one of the big criticisms coming into the year, it's like, you know, you worry about this team because of some of the, like, Doc Rivers coaching and some of Doc Rivers' playoff history. And you think about this team as like, all right, are they going to fold in the clutch? Like, is James Harden going to, he's famously disappeared in the, you know, deciding games and second halves of games. But so far this year, and I grant you, it is merely the regular season, but this team fights to the end and they erase leads and they come back on teams, and they did it against, you know, maybe the one of the title favorites to get this huge victory.
They were down 18 late in the third, but they played the whole second half without Tobias Harris, the whole fourth quarter with no PJ Tucker. They didn't have two starters for this comeback, Keith.
Well, Dave, I don't know if they were missing PJ Tucker.
That's a point for another day, and come playoff time. Come playoff time, I think PJ Tucker remains a problem for them. For the Bucks, I mean, Giannis got his numbers, 34-13. Didn't feel like the same amount of force that we're used to from Giannis.
Yeah, it's one of those things I was discussing with some friends that, like, Giannis posted a 34 point 13 rebounds, and I thought he was kind of bad. Clearly, we're judging him on the scale of Giannis. The Giannis scale is the most difficult scale to be graded by. But, like, for him, it was not a good game. It was very ragged. And honestly, for the viewers, Dave, that fourth quarter, as exciting as, like, the comeback was, it was not the best viewing experience. A lot of those 48 points was getting Scott Foster to get us to the free throw line. Both teams were just throwing themselves into the defenders and being like, you know what? They're going to call a lot of fouls. Let's just do this. let's play the foul game. So it wasn't maybe the best game to watch. But yeah, Giannis didn't have like the, it wasn't the smoothest game where he wasn't finishing a bunch in transition, making his shots. It was very much a ragged, I need to get to the foul line. I need to force some contact. And, you know, maybe not the best overall NBA viewing showcase for the public to enjoy these good teams going at each other.
James Harden continues the run that he's on, 38 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds, just has been fantastic, especially in 2023. But the Bucks, they come back on Sunday, get a win. Giannis gets a totally legitimate triple-double.
Nothing to see here.
Nobody has any problems with that. But we're going to stay in the East because on Sunday, Keith, I mean, this was a wild game between the Knicks and the Celtics in Boston. We got two overtimes. We got a big comeback for the Knicks, and then the Celtics engineer come back. Emmanuel quickly scores a career-high 38 points. He played 55 minutes.
Keith. Is that even legal, Dave?
He rested 3 minutes in the entire game, and it was in the first half. Emmanuel quickly, after the game, Tom Thibodeau says, that's my guy. He led the Knicks to a 131-129 win over the Boston Celtics. And it's time to just say it out loud, Keith. The Knicks are pretty good.
The Knicks are good. I mean, it's been like they've been good, what, twice in the last 24 years, I think, is the tally. They're legitimately good. And like they win this huge game. They continue their winning streak. They didn't catch the Celtics by surprise. Like they walked into this game, big TV game on a winning streak. And the Celtics were, ready for him. Yeah, I mean, maybe they tricked him up with the no Brunson. So like they relaxed a little bit, but no Jalen Brunson, but hey, Emmanuel quickly is coming at you. And I mean, the Knicks took the Celtics best shot. It felt like, and for them to come out of this game victors, especially after the insane victory the Knicks had against the Heat a few days ago, where Julius Randle made all those threes, including the game winner. Yeah. I mean, New York fans, be excited. Your team is very good.
Yeah, and by the way, quickly did not do it alone. Julius Randle, 31 points, 9 rebounds. RJ Barrett had 29 and 11. But I just thought, you know, there were times defensively where especially RJ Barrett just made plays. I mean, the guy has been playing really, really good basketball. And we know Julius Randle, I mean, the guy, he's an all-star. So the Knicks, pretty good and rolling. And Boston just looked flat. Frankly, Jason Tatum had 40 points, but wasn't really shooting the ball all that well. Didn't feel like he was being totally aggressive, which I know that's funny to say when a guy puts up 40, but it just, I don't know why. It just didn't feel right. Jaylen Brown, 29 points. Horford had a decent game, 20 and 14, but it just felt like every single time the Knicks got going, the Celtics just couldn't stop them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was for the Celtics specifically. You know, Horford, like, he seemed like he was going to save them a few times there with the big clutch shooting. I mean, the Celtics team made 21 three-pointers. They basically never lose honestly, no one loses when you make 21 three-pointers usually. So especially the Celtics, who, as good as they are, you'd think they would get the win. I mean, I guess I just credit it more to the Knicks, just the Knicks, like, keep working. I think the Celtics, maybe they are just, like, it is regular season for them. Like they know what lies ahead and maybe you just can't replicate that edge that you need maybe for some of these regular season bouts, but I don't know. I guess I'm just going to fall back to the gushing over the Knicks, being impressed by RJ Barrett, being impressed by quickly in this 55 minute performance. And of course the undefeated king in New York, Josh Hart, man, hasn't lost a game since coming over at the trade deadline. So yeah, I mean, it's funny to think how the Knicks stack up. Like I personally not that worried about the Celtics. Like I think the Celtics are still there despite the fact that the Bucks have passed them now. And the Bucks are the one seed as we speak late Sunday night.
But that begs the question when you look at the East and you think about the way that teams have just been playing, let's say in 2023.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you rank these teams? I mean, you know, I think the Bucks, obviously you look at winning 17 of their last 18, one loss being to the Sixers, who I would put right behind the Bucks currently as far as quality of play. You know, I think they're trending up, if anything. And then, you know, I think when you look at the Knicks, who with their win over the Celtics Sunday night, they're now at 9 straight wins. I mean, this team has been playing their best basketball. They did it, like you mentioned, without Jalen Brunson in the game against the Celtics. I think that they're just playing better basketball overall than the Celtics. And it isn't like the Celtics are bad. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They've lost a couple here. But it's just that they're a little bit flat. And maybe that's Robert Williams. Maybe Robert Williams not being sort of this transcendent defender like he was last year, which really propelled him to that finals run. Maybe that's what this is. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with zero concerns over the Boston Celtics. That's kind of where I'm at the Boston Celtics. I still think they're incredible. I mean, like, if you ask me to stack up the East right now, I'm probably still picking the Celtics, all due respect to the Bucks and their run of winning 17 of 18. And I don't put yet the Sixers, despite how well they played, despite the Sixers win on Saturday night over the Bucks. I don't put the Sixers still at the level of Bucks and Celtics. For me, it's just in the East, the Bucks, Celtics. Right now, the Knicks are in a fun story. Like, I think Knicks or Cavs, who do you think is the better team overall, has become a discussion. And the fact that that is a discussion, for me, that's a compliment to the Knicks. Like, I didn't think earlier in the year I would be thinking about, hey, or like, is New York as good as Cleveland is? Because I think Cleveland's a very, very good basketball team. But right now, with the form these teams are in, I do think maybe, you know, the Knicks are currently playing better.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Keith, these Sunday lineups have been absolutely loaded. All right, stop me if you've heard this one before. Time running down in regulation. Kevin Durant dribbles up mid-range, rises up, and knocks down a jumper to give his team the lead. Now, his teammates now are Devin Booker and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, but Kevin Durant hits a game-winning jumper for the Phoenix Suns already to lead them over the Mavericks 130-126. Was this the KD-Kyrie battle bowl? Is this the rematch from the Suns and Mavs? I mean, there's so many storylines here. And KD rises above them, 37 points, including the go-ahead game winner there at the end of regulation. Kevin Durant, decent basketball player.
Yeah, like you said in the opening tease, good at basketball, 12 for 17 from the field, 17 field goal attempts to get 37 points. That's basically not fair. The guy is so good, and you haven't asked me to rank my Western Conference teams, but so far, the little bit I've seen of Kevin Durant on the Suns, that'll do. It seems like they're probably the favorite, with, again, apologies to the Nuggets. Like, they seem like they're the favorite in the West. You know, they're going to play tougher teams, but this is a hard game. Remember, road game in Dallas. I thought Dallas played pretty solidly. It was not Luka's finest performance by any stretch. Much like Giannis had a ragged game on Saturday night, I thought Luka very ragged and obviously missed the bunny at the end that would have tied the game. You know, this is it a super team? I mean, the fact that both these teams, you're like, the fact that the Suns are like, is Devin Booker the second option? You know, which he clearly is. Like, and then you think about the Mavericks, where it's like, Kyrie's your second option. Like, there's so much goodness between these two teams. I mean, it was a great game. Maybe the raggedness that's that playoff feel, you know, where unfortunately the officials get a little more involved because it's just, you know, when your shot's not going in, you got to find a way. Great players have to find a way. And they're like, all right, I'm going to get fouled, or I'm going to fall over.
And well, yeah. You know, and Luka did that quite a bit. He did 17 of 19 from the free throw line, but only 8 of 23 from the field, 1 of 9 from three. He just, to me, didn't look like he had his legs under him for this game. And look, man, this happens. It was an early game. It's a big game. So sometimes maybe you can get a little bit too worked up. And I know, you know, this is a real on-court rivalry. I mean, things even got a little heated at one point between Luka and Devin Booker. And, you know, I don't think anybody got out of line. I actually like a little bit of, you know, feistiness. And yeah. I didn't even mind, you know, they went head to head. Nobody swung. Seemed like they exchanged some words, but it was about stuff on the court. So I didn't mind that, Keith. I thought it was, you know, that's good old, like, playoff intensity.
Was it trash talk? Was Devin Booker talking to the refs? I feel like there was some confusion here. Maybe Devin Booker was trying to say, like, you know, that should have been a foul. Give my guy a Kogi, an offensive foul. You know, like, he drew the charge. But then Luka, I think Luka was trying to get a technical foul called.
Not for himself, but
no, I'm saying he was trying to bait. He knew he needed to bait Devin Booker in a technical foul. That was his best chance of victory at this point after missing that little layup or the floater. I'll grant him a floater, but yeah. Maybe he was just trying to bait Devin Booker, much like Chris Paul was screaming that there's only four players on the court. We have to count the players on the court and have a technical foul called. By the way, I'm sorry, David. Am I still ragging on the TV presentation? This game also, again, Goliath performances from the best players. Four players scored over 30. We spent the final 2 minutes of the game watching replays for things that I don't. Do they need to be replayed?
Yeah, we got to dump the replay. you brought up Luka trying to bait Devin Booker into a technical. Yeah. Well, Luka got his 14th technical of the season, and as your guy Dylan Brooks just found out, once you get to 16. It's a suspension. Yeah. So, you know, that's something to watch for Luka here going forward. Of course, you know, they've got Kyrie as that second option to fall back on. But the Mavericks have dropped to the play-in. They're now the 7 seed. So, you know, they need Luka available for as many games as possible. And especially because they just don't have a lot of offensive depth in particular. But they just don't have a lot of depth. So they can't afford to lose Luka because all these games matter thanks to the play-in. Moving on, Steph Curry's back. They're in L.A., but it's not enough as the Lakers beat the Warriors 113-105. Anthony Davis was nuts in this game. He had 12 points in the fourth, had 39 overall, and really led the way, Keith. This was a dominant performance, and it's what fans want out of Anthony Davis with LeBron James out. He can lead this team. I mean, we've seen him be, if not the best player in the league, one of the three or four best players in the league at one point, and you know, we all point to the bubble, but even before that, I mean, this guy he's battled injuries, but if he can maintain this level of play, I mean, there's a chance that the Lakers could sneak into the play-in with only Anthony Davis.
Yeah, it's wild that the Lakers find themselves in this position after getting like the injury news of LeBron James. And you're basically like, all right, I guess shut it down or whatever. But now Anthony Davis has put in a couple of incredible performances in a row. You had that comeback win, you know, LeBron's last game he played, that comeback win a week ago Sunday, and now despite I believe they dropped one during the week, like they're right there and they're still right there, and like the infusion of talent they got at the trade deadline, just the minutes that Jared Vanderbilt's given them, just like Malik Beasley's been fine for him, like just getting those few extra players seems to have energized this squad and given them that little extra boost, and now you have this incredible standings logjam. Where everyone is so incredibly close. I mean, you give the Timberwolves credit this weekend. You know, they've won three straight. That they find themselves in sixth place. Like, they pull themselves out of the fray briefly. I mean, just technically, when you look at the standings, they're still in the fray. But right now they stand on top in sixth place. But, like, it is wild where the Lakers are right there, despite not having LeBron James. But all these things change. Every single night, they reshuffle, basically.
Yeah, and for the Warriors, mentioned Steph Curry back, 27 points. He looked slow a little early, Keith, but he got his legs under him as the game went on and had 19 in the fourth and almost, you know, brought the Warriors back to win this game, but just not quite enough, and the Lakers hold on. Keith, anything before we shut down for the weekend?
Well, I got to say, you know, everyone was talking about how Steph Curry going to affect the Warriors. They've been playing pretty well. Will he shake that up? I'm not saying he shook it up. The Warriors are playing well because they were at home. They only win home games. They have to play a road game. They're 7-24 on the road. I don't know what's going on with our champs. Curry had a great quote after the game. He's like, we're trying to win a championship, and we're also trying to avoid the play-in. Both things can be true.
Yeah, and this is the start of a big road trip for the Warriors. And as you mentioned, the standings are changing every single night, so keep it locked in to The Athletic. Keep it locked into the Athletic NBA show. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Keith Parrish, I'm Dave DeFore. Keith, get out of here.
Ding, ding.